Thank you, Jesus, that we do get to open your word. I'm so grateful that you chose to reveal yourself to us through the written word, through creation, through people, and through your Holy Spirit. And I just ask, Lord Jesus, that today our hearts will be soft and pliable and ready to hear from you. We know that your word is useful for so many things, and if we need a rebuke today, God, or some sort of a correction, I pray that will come to us. If we need just encouragement and teaching and enlightenment, Lord Jesus, let us get soaked in with just all your good word. And just thank you, Jesus. Amen. That last song about his hands, I love that the creator of the universe is also the sustainer, and he holds us in his hands. And if you think you're going to fall out, it's like, you know, it's pretty secure. It's a pretty safe place. So thank you, Jesus, for that. Ephesians, if you're in the Pew Bibles, we're still in Ephesians chapter 4. This section starts on page 1787. And I'm going back a few weeks here to just put it back in context again. New International Version. If you've got a different version, it may be just slightly different, but God's Word is true. And if you're finding it to be radically different, you know, let's talk about what version you're reading and figure out, you know, is it accurate? Is it, you know, just bent? Or there's some mostly good ones out there. Thank you, Jesus. You were taught, here's Paul talking to a number of churches, the church in Ephesus and other churches. It was kind of a circular letter. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude or the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. And kind of in the middle of all this, we got to hear from Nick, and he stayed in Ephesians and went back to Ephesians 2:22. I don't have it on the screen this time, but if you go back to Ephesians 2:22, it says, "And in him you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit." You're created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness, and in fact, you're created to be a dwelling place for his Spirit. Church. Y'all. Plural. And if we're a dwelling place for God, and we go out into the community and all they see is a bunch of grumpy, mean people that are stuck up and arrogant and think they're better than the rest of the world, we're not really being a dwelling place for Holy Spirit, are we? So that's where it's kind of important that we actually realize who we are created to be. And that's part of, let me just go back a verse here, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, in the spirit of your minds. If you recognize that when God redeemed you, God called you, He entered into your life in such a way that you're His dwelling place. And if that is our spirit attitude, if that's how our minds are thinking, it's going to push a lot of the old out, and it's going to bring a lot of the new in. And so you get these three verses kind of put together: put off your old self, be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self. And then Paul starts getting specific. What's one way that we can put off the old? Well, therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. You kind of notice the pattern here. It's a, don't lie, you know, stop speaking falsehood, put off. Speak truth, that's put on. And because we are all members of one body, well, be made new in the attitude of your mind. Do you think if you recognize that you're part of the body of Christ, that it's going to change how you think? It's going to be easier to put on the truth and put off the lies, because we're not children of the father of lies. We're not children of the devil. We're children of God. And so if we change our attitude, change our minds, and we're prepared to think spiritually and think, okay, Lord, thank you. What do you want to do through me? Oh, you want to tell the truth? Because you are the way, the truth, and the life? Okay, let's try that. And the next thing he talks about truthfulness and lying and all that. And the next thing he brings up is anger. Why would he do that? He's writing to Christians. He's writing to the church. I don't know any Christians that ever get angry. Do you? None of you know me? I mean, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Again, there's that pattern. In your anger, do not sin. Put off sin. Put off that part, that reaction that you have when you're angry. Settle things quickly. That's put on. It's like, okay, I'm angry. I'm not going to sin, though. How can I be angry and not sin? Well, it's like, I'm not going to let this anger hold on to me. I'm not going to let it stay with me. I've got to set it aside. If I'm angry with a brother or sister, I need to go to them, work things out. If I'm just angry at God, I need to go to God and say, hey, God, I'm angry at you. By the way, he's big enough to handle that. Do you know that one of the things that God says in Hebrews, it says, in order to please God, you must first believe that he exists. Well, if you're angry at God, you know that he exists, right? So he's like, okay, it pleases me that you're angry with me. It pleases me that you recognize that I'm in control. Let's talk. And so go ahead and get angry at God. If you don't know how to do that, read through the Psalms. You'll find some pretty good examples where David found ways to just let it all out. He was pretty cool about that. So, and then, again, be made new in the attitude of your mind. Don't give the devil a foothold. Do you recognize that sometimes we think we have a right to be angry? Well, yeah, I'm angry because, well, she did it. It's his fault. You know, and we don't take responsibility for our emotions and our anger. And it's like, but wait, if I hold on to it too long, then those roots of bitterness kind of dig in. And now I've given the devil a foothold. And he loves to just get in there and try to rip us apart as Christians. Especially if he can get us angry with each other, spouses, fellow Christians, brothers and sisters. If he can get us angry with each other and feel like we have a right to hold on to that, yeah, he's winning that battle. We don't want to do that. And this brings us all the way up to today's verse. Yay, you were wondering if I'd ever get to it. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Now, some of you that have been hanging out with me long enough, you've heard me teach a little bit from 1 Thessalonians. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, kind of towards the first section of chapter 4 there, it talks about, you know, brotherly love. And it's like, I know you all understand about brotherly love. I know that you know how to do this. And then the next thing he starts breaking down is, you need to lead a quiet life, mind your own business, and work with your hands. That's how you show love to your brothers. That's how you show love to your community. Just shut up, mind your own business, lead a quiet life, and work with your hands. Do something good. I love here that it doesn't use the word good in this translation. Other translations use the word good. Doing something useful, doing something good with your own hands. So your occupation, whatever you're doing, and many of us are able to kind of pick and choose each day what we're going to do with our lives, do something good. Okay? Now, some people work really, really, really hard, but they're not working at something good. And they're creating chaos and strife and problems where they go. Or they're working on something that's dishonest. Maybe they're used car salesmen that don't believe that their product is as good as they're telling everybody it is. Maybe they're willing to overlook some of the issues that the car has had in order to make a profit. And they're trying to do something, but it's not necessarily something good. I had the privilege of selling real estate, and I got I had a Christian broker. He was a nice guy, but he got quite upset with me one day when I told a young couple that they couldn't afford what they were trying to buy and wanted to sign. They were ready to walk out, and we would have made a good commission. I would have made a commission, my broker would have made a commission, and I looked at their finances and I looked at them and I said, I want you guys to just go have lunch somewhere, think about this, come back and let me know what your decision is. But this is what's going to happen. If you purchase this property, this is how much work needs done on it. You're stretching yourself to the limit just to get the thing. And I know that even on paper, you're not doing as good as you are in reality, because this loan that your mom and dad are giving you for the down payment, that doesn't count against you on paper, but you know that that's still there. And are they wanting you to pay that back? You know, that's between you and them, but if that's something you have to pay back too, You're stretched too thin here. And then when it comes time for repairs, because the well, it's not certified and it doesn't work. So you're going to want to have water. That's kind of important. And I just went through a list of things that they would need to do that were real obvious at the time. And I said, I'm not going to tell you not to buy it. I'd love to make the commission. You know, if you really know for sure, if you've got another source of income I'm not aware of and you're not sharing with me, and you know that you can pull this off, go for it. Just go have lunch and come back. They walked out. Broker walks in. Where's the paperwork? Told them what I did. Because if I'm part of the body of Christ, I can't go around working for bad. I can't go around working to try to make somebody suffer over the next 20 years because I wanted a quick profit. That's not how God's family is supposed to work. And so they left, and he says, they'll never be back. They never do. You never let them out the door, you know. And they came back. And they thanked me for it. And they weren't able to, and they knew it. And I didn't follow through on them after that. I don't know if they found a different place or what, but, you know, I know that I did the right thing, and I know that this is how we're supposed to do things. If I had gone through with that deal, I would have been stealing from them. Now, we don't, most of us think of stealing as something like that. Most of us, we think of stealing, it's like, okay, go into the store, there's a candy bar here, and I don't think that the guy's watching, and it's in my pocket, and I walk out the door. Or, you know, you've seen those guys that can get like 6 or 8 steaks inside their coat and walk out. They're stealing, right? Or, you know, maybe there's the white collar theft where stockbrokers are finding ways to churn accounts. There's so many different ways that we can steal. Well, something that none of you probably want to talk about, but you realize April 15th is coming up pretty soon. That's Kathy's birthday. Yay! But it's also tax day. I prefer to think of Kathy's birthday on April 15th. I don't want to think about tax day. But when you're filling out your tax forms, are you tempted to make things look a little bit different just so that you can benefit just a little bit? It's like, well, everybody's doing it. Nobody's really going to know. I don't think they'll check this. I haven't been audited for 40 years, so has it been that long?
Not quite.
Not quite? Pretty close. When were we audited? 40 years ago. Yeah. Okay. So anyway, 39, she says. It was for 79 and we're doing taxes for 19 right now. That was 40 years ago. You know what? It's tempting to look at that and say there's probably ways to manipulate these numbers just a little bit so that we don't have to pay quite as much because the government doesn't really deserve it and they're not doing a good job with it. And we can come up with all kinds of rationalizations. What about when you go to a restaurant? We used to work in a group home, and some of the kids that would come with us liked to walk by tables that the waitresses and staff hadn't bussed yet, and there happened to be some tips there, and they could just walk by and grab a tip as they go. And, you know, we would do our best to catch them, but every once in a while, they were quick. But aren't you kind of also stealing if you have the meal and you get all the service and then you don't give a tip? Because they're counting on that for part of their income. And they've got family to feed and bills to pay. And I think, you know, if we're going to have this mindset, if we're renewing our minds, changing the attitude of our minds, it's like, I know when I was first learning about tipping, it's like, well, why would I do that? They're making more than I am. That was my mindset. And maybe they were. It's like, okay, well, why am I eating at a restaurant I can't afford then? If we're going to go out to eat, and most of us do, I think I've seen most of you out somewhere eating, maybe last night. You know, it's like, leave a comfortable tip. And I'm not going to tell you what the perfect amount is, but I'm thinking anything under 20% is probably a form of theft. Just, that's me, okay? And if you can't afford that, you know, then rethink where you're eating and what you're ordering and, treat people right. What about if you're going to sell somebody something? We sold our house And I know that on the market, we probably could have gotten a little bit more for it. We could have probably eked out just a little. But I also knew that there were some issues with it and stuff. And the guy that was buying it from us was a Christian and you know, a nice man. And he and his wife probably didn't need to be stretched too thin either. And so you leave a little bit on the table. Because the last thing you want is to be upside down in your property as soon as you've purchased it. You know, if you buy a new car, you know it, you're going to be upside down. I mean, immediately. You drive off the lot, bought the new car, you paid whatever. What's a new car cost now? About $7,000? Shows you how old I am, yeah. That's how much it depreciates when you drive off the lot. It's like, okay, you know, my philosophy is if you can sell somebody something and still leave some value in that so they're not being cheated. Scripture talks probably more about dishonest scales, dishonest weights, cheating your customers than it talks about homosexuality and a lot of the other things that some of the churches in the world think are the primary. Okay? If we can make what's important important, our hearts need to be right. If I'm going to be in business, I want to make sure that I'm an honest business person. And that goes both ways. Now, if you're the restaurant owner and you're saying that this is a half a pound of brisket, but you know that you trimmed a little bit off the edge and it's really only three, you know, just a little less than, not three quarters. That three quarters would be off the full pound. Three eighths. You know, it's like, You want to have honest relationships with people, okay? Now, that's not just in the business world. What about when you're talking with people and you're being dishonest about how you feel about them? Sometimes you butter somebody up so that you can be in their favor and get something out of them. Maybe just a better reputation. How many different ways can we steal from people? You can steal a glance at somebody that you shouldn't be looking at. In a way that you shouldn't be looking. There's all kinds of ways that we can be stealing. And if we're doing that, it says in Scripture, steal no longer. Again, here Paul is writing to Christians. You wouldn't think this is one of the top sins that he was going to have to tell the Christians about, right? You know, and I've read a number of commentaries where they tried to say, yo, well, that was just back in that day and age where, you know, they were more prone to stealing back then. It's like, no, we're just more sophisticated about it now. We find ways to steal somebody's reputation by giving a false account. Passing on negative stories about someone. Yeah. I don't know. I'll let Holy Spirit teach you on that one because I don't want to get too specific. Don't like telling them myself. If you're stealing, stop it. Don't steal anymore. But you must work. Now, I love, at the end of the verse here, it tells you why you should work. It's not like you need to work with your hands so that you can get a whole lot and acquire it, and then you can have a better retirement and more stuff. They need to work that they may have something to share with those in need. Let's put it in the form of what this context is. Putting off, putting on, and being made new in the attitude of your mind. Stop stealing. You put that behavior off. Okay? Whatever it is, however it's getting to you, put it off. Start working. Put on. Why would we do this? Well, so you can share. Now maybe you're going to make so much money that you're going to have excess and you'll be able to share with people. Maybe you're going to have so much money that when you go to the restaurant and you pay for that honest meal that you enjoy, you get to leave a sizable tip. So you can share. Somebody that's in more need than you. Maybe you know somebody in town that needs some work and you can hire them for something that you're perfectly capable of doing. But you know that they're going to not be able to pay their taxes or put gas in their vehicle if they don't have this job. There's all kinds of ways we get to share. You can also share just with your labor. I know I'm looking around quite a few people in this community. are working on what we call the food pantry, food harvest, food bank, whatever, here in Skycomish. They put their time and effort into that because it's a way to do things. I know people that are working in their jobs, they're serving children. They're serving others. They're caring for the community. The community's better off because of your work, because of your service. When the community was locked down and there were excess people on the road, I know one of you just wanted to find a way to get them all out. Get them out. Well, that's for their good too, though. I mean, part of service is let's make sure we can find a path for them so they can get where they want to be. They didn't want to be here, the ones that were stuck on the highway. Some of you, though, you said, okay, I can open my home. You get a call from somebody, and it's like, yeah, some of our friends are stuck on the highway because they were up snowboarding and skiing and whatever, and is there a way they could stop by your place? So then your floor and your couch and everything's full, and everybody's having fun and loving each other. And unfortunately, Kathy and I were stuck in the Caribbean at that time. We kissing dolphins and having a good time, and we didn't get to necessarily help that much. But I, in some ways, I was really glad that we were gone, not because it was more comfortable for us, but because I got to hear reports about what God's doing through His church, through His people. And I do want you to know, there's going to come a time where Kathy and I are gone. And you know, Lord willing, that's going to be a long time from now, but it's like, this isn't about how much can you pay a pastor and a missionary couple to come in and do all this stuff in the community. It's about what is the church doing. And I found out what the church was doing. 14 hours a day for how many days, Kim? You lost count. His fault, because he helped you get a generator over there. So, you know, people in the community were running around taking care of each other, and there was a warm place to go with three meals a day or more, and then you had the fun crowd, okay? And they're just kind of hanging out and playing games, and it's like, but people came in and they got to see not only, oh, we're going to get through this. No, it's like, hey, we get to be with each other. We get to have a community. We get to love one another. That's what I got to hear about because we weren't here. Now, if I'd have been here, it would have been the grumpy guy. Oh, we'll get through this somehow. So thanks for setting a good example for me from a distance. And then when I came back, everything was working pretty well. You know, what would have been stealing at that time would have been everybody just thinking of themselves. And so this mindset, this attitude of your mind, it's like anybody that's stealing, it's like, okay, you're thinking, I'm the most important person. I need to take care of myself. Got to watch out for number one. That's kind of the attitude that we're raised with. That's the attitude of society. You even hear that from school teachers and television and world leaders and everybody. You know, take care of yourself. Look out for number one. In a way, that's stealing. Because God didn't gift us with health and resources and abilities to just take care of ourselves. Now, it is important you take care of yourselves. Remember 1 Thessalonians. Lead a quiet life. Mind your own business. Work with your hands. That's an important step. But then part of it, you know, as we change the attitude of our mind, it's like, oh, my driveway, my walkway has been shoveled out. I guess I can get the neighbors. Thank you, Glenn. When Kathy and I drove home to what we had seen pictures of, there was a path from the street to our front door. And there was a section cut out because Cheryl brought her tractor over and pushed out a spot for our car. And then I come over to the church and I find out Marilyn crossed the street. She'll probably be here for potluck today. She loves everybody in this church. She had been digging it out, and she got to the point where she couldn't keep up because she's got her own place to take care of, and she's also trying to take care of the church. This is somebody that doesn't attend the church and doesn't claim to be a Christian, and she's trying to watch out for the church because she loves the church and she loves the people in the church. And she got to the point where she couldn't do it anymore, so she put a little text out, and I guess some of you showed up and helped her dig out. It's like we're helping the neighbor do the job of the church. And what a blessing to see all of this taken care of. I mean, I came over because normally, you know, when the town plows through, you're going to have a berm that's like 6 feet high. And when the snow is already 6 feet high, I was not looking forward to that berm. It wasn't there. It was taken care of. And then Skip shows up and it's got the backhoe. He says, "What else can I do for you?" Nice town worker, right? And he pushes all that snow up onto the lawn. That's why it's still piled there. Sorry, Larry. You're not going to see your lawn to mow for a while, but you're okay with that, huh? If we're just thinking of ourselves, we're stealing. But when we start thinking of others, we're getting the mindset, the spirit, the attitude that God wants us to have as his dwelling place. I don't want to dwell on that. I just want to say thank you. Thank you to God. Thank you to the community, the church, that you're demonstrating not only to one another, but to the other people in the community, the love of Jesus Christ. And that's a good thing. It's something that's kind of exciting to see. And it seems to be even getting better and better. That was the thing when Paul was talking to the church in Thessalonica, in Thessalonians, he's saying, y'all are really good at loving each other. I want you to do it more and more. I want you to get better and better. Don't ever stop with that. And as we look in Ephesians here, and it's like, okay, we're not supposed to act like worldly people. We're supposed to put off our old self. We're supposed to change the spirit of our mind, the attitude of our mind, and we're supposed to put on the new creation. Can you do that in your own strength? If you try doing that in your own strength, you might be able to look right and look good for a while. But it's just going to make you a Pharisee or a hypocrite. We need to do it in the strength of God. If we're the dwelling place of Holy Spirit, then it's not that much of a chore to allow him to work through us. The part of the chore, we'll get to that later, I don't know which week, about not quenching the Spirit. If we're stopping Holy Spirit from doing his work, we still need to go back to the previous verses and change the attitude of our mind. If we're just looking out for number one and we're forgetting that we're supposed to be giving to others that are in need, we need to keep going back to Scripture and back to Holy Spirit and just trust. Lord God, thank you for teaching us. Teach us more. Soften our hearts. Cause us to be people of your pasture that are willing to serve, willing and able to give to those that are in need. Thank you that you will do that. We trust you that you'll do it even more and more. Amen.